I'll call this meeting to order as soon as my, there we go. Sorry. Should have had it up. Okay. Irene, please call, or please determine a quorum.
Okay. Sarah Holmgren?
Here.
Cheryl File?
Here.
Jay Lister?
Here.
Katie Holman?
Here.
Maria, sorry. Maria Hart.
Great. We have a quorum. Let's stand for the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
I'd like to make a motion to approve the agenda for today, March 10th. Do I have a second or any?
I'll second.
Okay, motion's been made and seconded. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion passes 4-0. Student presentation, we have the middle school, high school, co.org. High school teacher Tony Thompson's going to fill us in as well as some names of students.
Yeah, let me get this, see if I can get this up here for the, and I will try not to talk too long. As my students will tell you, though, that might be an issue. Oh, look, there we go. Okay. And I'm not going to change it to presentation for, but what we looked at last year is trying to coordinate our computer science classes, high school and middle school. The elementary school has been doing such a good job for years. We tried to bring something else in. So we brought in the co.org curriculum and sent a teacher off to training last summer. And it really is based on this thing that computers are all over our society these days. And this first slide kind of says it, where computers and software are changing everything. If I can get this going very well, I'm sorry, it might be a little... Here we go. This is great to see when you talk about the popularity of classes, art and design, popular performing arts, great. Computer science and engineering, 54% of the kids, they love that class. And this is a great slide, being a computer science teacher. Being a math teacher, it's not such a great slide because you look at the bottom bar. But it shows that kids are interested in doing this around the country, and so we want to make sure that we can keep it available, not just at our elementary school and middle schools, but throughout our high school years, providing these kids. And that idea of learning to code, computer science isn't just about learning to code, learning to crank out the code behind all these really nice things you see that they're presenting, and some of the things they're going to present tonight, but really our schools need to teach what is called computer science, which is much more about learning about not just how to code, but the internet itself, how the technology works, privacy issues, and encryption, etc. Computer science is not just about learning technology. In this one, it's about logic, problem solving, and creativity. In fact, when we start with our middle school program, the first thing we do, our first unit, is just on problem solving. And people walked in my classroom this fall, and I was building aluminum boats. Well, actually, they were building aluminum boats. I was just critiquing the aluminum boats. But it's really about how to take a problem and then how to work together with them collectively. Because when in these groups of coding folks at Google or Amazon or whatever, they do this in groups, and then they put their work together, which hopefully you'll see later with Mr. Obrachta's presentation. He's got something that he put together with another group of kids. This idea that computer science is vocational is sometimes what people think it is. And what the new philosophy is that computer science is really foundational, that all kids should have at elementary school, middle school, and high school. And not, again, not just the coding piece, but to understand what's going on behind the scenes so that they're an informed citizen and so they're not just drawn into something crazy. Because the fact is, when we're looking at our technology, it's everywhere we look. I mean, if you haven't seen a kid walking around with a phone, then you just haven't gone outside lately, which actually could happen in the next couple of weeks. We don't get outside much, but it's all over the place in our cars and everything. We need to make sure the kids understand how to do these things. This idea of an algorithm is sometimes really intimidating, but I think both Martha and Owen will confirm an algorithm is just a set of rules to get us from here to there. It's just like how to make a peanut butter sandwich. It has to have an algorithm. This is the picture in Alaska generally, or right now, 981 open computing jobs, 33 computer science graduates actually in 2017, and only 8 high schools in Alaska taught AP computer science in 2018, which is sad. That number has grown, but still not very fast. We are now one of the schools that teaches AP computer science principles. We've got 3 kids enrolled in it, and they'll have their first round of tests this fall. We've got 6 kids in it. We had 10 kids total. We've had a little bit of attrition. I'll take full blame for that. But we've got some AP going on. Very few schools in the state are doing that, as well as nationwide. Our policy has been great in the state. We've got a very active coalition in the state of Alaska, and we now have computer science standards here to tell kids what they need to know K through 12. The one thing about what we're doing in the high school and the middle school, and I'll try to wrap this up really quickly because a lot of times people think that we're just coding, is that in the middle school, we have something that's called computer science discovery. And that starts off with problem solving, web development, which is writing HTML code for all your web pages, animation and games, and it sounds like a lot of fun. And actually, the kids kind of have fun. But but they're learning something because they're doing it all in what is called JavaScript. And then it comes to the design process. Later sections, if we had a whole year to do it, would be data and society. And then they actually would get to physical computing to understand more about the physical pieces of that. At the high school level, it's called computer science principles. And they start off thinking they're just going to code for a year. And actually, they start off trying to understand the internet, the structure and design of that. They do digital information where they have to learn about binary hexadecimals and learning more about how to transfer data when it's encoded. They do a section on programming where they learn some JavaScript and some other program languages. And then they get into what's called big data, which is where you're looking at encryption. You're looking about like Google Trends, for example, and how you can read that data and where it comes from, and cybercrime, etc. And then the last thing that we're in now, because we're actually, oh my gosh, it's the middle of March, they're building apps for their phones. And then with those apps for their phones, that will be, for the AP kids, that will be their a project that they will have to submit to the AP, and then they'll be graded based on a rubric, and then they have a test later on in the year. So what I'd like to do, if I can start with Martha, if that works. Well, she'll come up and she's going to put what she's been doing in her class in computer science discoveries. They've they were working on writing the HTML that sits behind the web pages. When we see like a web page not like this because this is a PowerPoint, there's a lot of code that goes behind it. And what they've learned how to do is how to place all these objects in there, how to put in hyperlinks and these different things that we take for granted when we're surfing the web, so to speak. And then afterwards, if Owen can come up, and I think he's going to do something that he and a group of kids did as a collaborative project using JavaScript. That was the one you brought in, right? Okay. So if we can, Martha, if you want to come up here and do this and kind of just show us what you did, that would be great.
So this is my website I did, and this is how it would appear to anyone if they just found it online, but this is all the code behind it, and the website when I did it on thecode.org, and this is the code over here that I use to do the links, which go to the other websites that I connected to it. And the way the code works is that you have to put a tag on the writing. So for the links, you have like a tag that explains the title, and then that helps the computer find the link. And then you put the title, which is what appears over here. And for all the writing, like for paragraphs, you have to put a little tag on it, which has the P that tells it's going to be in a paragraph. So then the computer will organize it in a paragraph form. Like for lists, you have to do it differently. You have to put a tag on there that tells the computer to be a list, and then a separate tag that explains if it's going to be an ordered list or an unordered list.
Show some of the other pages, maybe?
Okay.
Are those all pages?
Yeah. And then there's other links for pictures. Oh, and then there's style sheets. You have to link the style sheet to the page. So this is the code I had to use to change the color of the background and the text, and it also controls what the font is. So each of these, like, that's the body, so it shows what the background is and what that color will be. And then each of those explains about, like, the border for the picture. And then this is the size, like the H3 stands for how big the code is going to be, like the writing. I think that's it.
Do you have any questions?
So when you have space like between line 15 and 18, is that producing the space between your text and picture? And?
I think so. Yeah.
So do you create all of the text that's there? You create all the code, or is there like a little bit of a framework that you start from and then?
Well, it has instructions when you go through these. Some of the pages are pages that you work on your website. But there are other pages that have a whole list of instructions and videos that explain how to do it.
Okay.
And sometimes with the instructions, they'll actually be pictures that have like an example of where to put the code.
Mm-hmm.
And they have other websites, like if you go back, they build example web sheets that you practice coding on. So this is a web sheet that was already on there, and I had to practice fixing the code. So they'll have like mistakes in it, and then you have to fix it so like all the code's the same color, the same size that you practice when you do your own website.
Okay. So that would be like a lesson that you might do in class. Okay.
Cool. Wow.
Okay.
A whole other language.
Yeah.
It is a whole other language.
Yeah, for sure.
So come up. And the one thing that's really great with Martha is that she talked about some things, fixing things. That's that whole debugging process. And it, when you have students have are really meticulous with their things, they're really good at that. Really nice thing about the middle school class is it's half girls and half boys. The high school class is all boys, and that's one of the things we're trying to fix, that equity picture. So the fact that we have all these middle school girls doing this coding and doing it really, really well has been really powerful for them, I think.
So this is one of our early group projects, and I worked in a group of three. What we were doing is we were just writing JavaScript to create this 2D scene. And the coding part is actually real easy. It's just curves, lines, and dots. But as you can imagine, that would take a lot of lines of code to do that without these things called functions. And so what we did was we made functions, and we used them as kind of abstractions to shorten the code, and then in the end we tied it all together into a Google Doc so then we could make this scene. So like a certain person would work on the background, say the mountains, and someone would do the foreground. And by using functions we can also add some variation. So when I run this, let me slow it down a bit. So as you can see, there's quite a bit to it, and I have to actually speed up because it takes a long time. So every time I run it, it's going to be different, whether it's the height of the trees in the background or how many feathers are on the turkey. And that's kind of what the class is about, using algorithms and functions to make coding easier.
How long did it take to do that?
This took about a week or two.
Okay. Well, but not like all day. You just kind of, is it like just during class time?
Yeah.
So, okay.
And some students, I prefer writing in this raw text format, but there's an easier version which has blocks, which is just kind of simpler and easy to see.
Okay.
How many lines of code did you have?
We wrote out 537 lines of code.
Wow. So anything that was stumped you guys for a little while?
Yeah, if we have any issues, like we're missing just a semicolon at the end of a line, we have to trace the bug and look through the code together. And that was kind of the issue we had when we put it all together. Sometimes things don't always work well, so you kind of just got to dig into it.
Good job.
Yeah. You think you want to do something like that in your future?
It's a possibility.
Yeah. Maybe interested in that?
Cool. Thank you.
That's awesome.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Yes. Thank you, guys.
And maybe Heather can fill us in a little bit later, but it sounds like they've got a nice little club down the elementary school coding down there, too. Good job.
Okay.
Thank you. Now we'll move on to student representative report.
Okay, so last month the Constitution has been amended, and that happened through a majority vote of the school body. So there's a survey sent out, I think 2 weeks ago, that made that official. So that started this week, where they've been putting that into action, which the major change, just a reminder, was rotating department heads, kind of. So like, if you're the president for the March meeting, you aren't going to be president for the April meeting, if that makes sense. So they started that today. They also are working on the project of getting eco-friendly hand dryers in the bathroom, I think downstairs. And they talked to Dan Tate about it. And the good news is that all the wiring is already there. So to install it, it's going to be that price would not be as expensive as it would normally be. And so they are working to get the funds for that. So that's their next big project. We did get our furniture that we have been looking forward to, and that's in the commons, so you can see that when you walk in. It's the black benches, it's circular, and there's a round table, and there's also a new table and benches on the side by the fish tank. Anyways, we just finished Eco-Friendly Week. So this was a week where each day there was a theme, and students were encouraged to participate in the theme. So one day it was carpooling day, and another day was show one of the ASB members your reusable water bottle. And so each day there was a drawing of people who participated, and there is prizes, like I think there was coffee cards, and we had a parking pass. So there's actually a lot of participation in that, which was pretty cool to see. That's pretty much it for last month. So yeah,
thank you.
That's actually quite a lot.
Yeah. Okay, any correspondence?
No.
Okay. Moving on, comments from the audience unrelated to agenda items. Okay, comments from the audience related to agenda items. Okay, seeing none, we'll move on to comments from board members. It's nice that we feel like we're missing our fifth wheel. Nora, designing.
Just a plug, if anybody's listening.
Yes.
We are looking for a school board member from, you have until March 24th to get your information into the district office, your letter of interest, and then until October to see if you might want to be on our school board. And that's kind of the, you know, if you're unsure, that's a good time to do it.
We're a fun group.
We are fun. We don't argue. Yeah. Closed doors, no. Fist and cuffs.
I hope
not. No, we don't. So, yeah, it's not bad. I've been here for 8 years. So,
we'll see.
Really good
crew. It's good to, you know. So come on in and join us.
Come join us.
Okay, we'll move on to the consent agenda, which... I'll make a motion to approve the consent agenda. I have a second.
I'll second.
Motion's been made and seconded. Is there any discussion? It's our usual with payroll, as well as regular board meeting, accounting report, and our special meeting, and then our extra duty contracts. So if there's no discussion, motion's been made and seconded. Please call the roll.
Jay Lister?
Yes.
Sarah Holmgren?
Yes.
Katie Holmlin?
Yes.
Cheryl File?
Yes.
Maria Vaughn?
Yes.
Motion approved. Next, we will move on to administrative reports. First, superintendent report to Superintendent Clipper.
Okay, thanks. I have lots of things to talk about down the list, so I won't spend too much time on just my general report. I will put in a plug for the great group that we took up to ASTE a few weeks ago. We had a really good team of people that went up there. It was great professional learning. I think the interesting thing about going to a technology conference now versus, I think the last time I went was probably 5 years ago, there was a lot of emphasis on not just new and shiny tech, but also about sort of ethical and responsible use, and also there was a whole kind of strand of training that had to do with mental and emotional health and well-being. There were sessions with some of our people that Ginger Evans and Bridget Woodstock actually did a session on yoga and Pilates. That was one of the things. So, I mean, there was kind of it was a nice mix, I think, of sort of the human side of life and all the other things that are coming at us in the technology world. So I thought it was a great, really great conference. It's a busy one, and we had a lot of opportunities to, you know, collaborate and talk, and we came back with lots of great ideas and I think good enthusiasm and energy. So that was really fun. So appreciative of the opportunity to spend time with some pretty awesome teachers. It was great. We are also in the midst of doing some hiring. We have several positions that are currently posted, and then also somewhere down here we have to reluctantly accept another resignation from our facility and maintenance director, Dan Tate. That will leave some big shoes to fill. So we are very sad to see him go. We wish him the best of luck in his next adventure. So we will be also looking for that position in addition to several others in the district. He and Irene, we're going to have a great send-off party, I guess, for the two of you. I don't know. I'm talking about that. But anyway, and then just other things down the list. We'll talk. I've been spending a lot of time on teleconferences, learning all kinds of things about coronavirus, and we'll talk more about that down the list.
Any questions? No? Okay. Next, we will have elementary principal Mrs. Todd.
Hi, good evening. So we've had an exciting month, and we've kind of finished it with the elementary finalists for our spelling bee, which was super exciting. We had Tyler Ward first place and Maria Toth second place, Abigail Dietrich third place. Oops, sorry. And then we got Tyler, he's going to the district spelling bee, or to the big spelling bee in Alaska. So that was pretty amazing and awesome. And he competed up there against his brother. It was a great pitcher. Pretty excited. He felt pretty good about it too. And they were high-fiving and patting each other on the back. So that was fun. We had our district data day on Monday, February 17th. That went well. And we still had some kids show up to school, but we had to kindly tell them, guys, we thank you for your effort, but no school today, and they were really excited. We also had our pie and game and activity night, and that was a blast. If anybody could ever attend that, it was some serious games against each other, the snowballs and the kickball and the medic ball / dodgeball kind of activity. We got Pi put it on, and it was so much fun that everybody was saying, hey, we need to do this again. So we have put a date aside in April. We're going to go up to the ball field. No cost to anybody. Just come on up and play some games with us in each of the fields. It was a sweaty, exciting night for us. We just got over done with conferences. We had the best attendance yet. It was 98%, so we were pretty excited about that. We also did something a bit different. We took our school climate connectedness survey that week as well, planning our conferences around that. So we would just like to give a shout out. We got 68 families to come in and to take that survey in the hall as we grabbed them and brought them into a room and used Mr. Sullivan's computers and said, hey, will you take this survey? We should get brownie points because we still did a couple middle school ones too. Oh, man. Yeah.
Good.
So thank you to that. The book fair was a huge success. I think the most yet in a few years. We have a big thank you to Michelle. She is done after this year. She's retiring and moving on, wherever her family may move on. They are Coast Guard, yeah. So they will be moving somewhere. So if anybody is able and willing to take over that event, that would be lovely. There will be no school on this Friday. So we are, because we stayed for conferences, there is no school this Friday, the 13th. We have spring break that starts a bit early on the 13th. And so our spring break is the following week, and we will see everybody again on March 23rd. And then we have testing, state testing. So we are exciting around here. Yeah. Are there any questions? Okay.
Thank you. Middle school and high school principals report, Mr. Darmer.
Hi, good evening. Busy times. We're just about to spring break, and then the as we say, once we get through spring break, it is a flash, and it is the end of May. So hold on tight. What's going on? Well, first of all, we also did the school climate connectedness. We did not bribe people and get them in, but thank you for doing it for us. That's fantastic. Yeah. We're excited for the partnership. That's awesome. No, we do. We're thankful a lot of people taking that. Ms. Turner over here puts a lot of work into getting that set up. Mr. Painter helped us get on the website. And just let folks know, the staff takes that seriously every fall, and we look through the results, we talk about it, we spend multiple hours kind of talking about just ways to continue to support our kids and to make our schools better. So it is valuable. It isn't checking a box. There's a lot of study, and that's all three buildings I know take it very seriously. So thank you to those everyone who participated in that. We are done with quarter three. We are into quarter four, which is a little early. I know Maria's like, oh, you must be a senior. Okay. But it's going fast. As I said, the middle school celebrates with a great, they do more of a quarter grading than the high school, which is just kind of plugging along on semesters. But they had a great activity day. The student council, Ms. Wallace, Mr. Cabral organized some fun activities just after we got through our course. And that was fun. And then a good activity night. We added laser tag this year up in the mat room. And that was a hit. A lot of kids using little laser guns with their little lasers that vibrate when you get each other. And that it was fun, jumping around on the mats. And kids would come out sweaty and stuff, which... that's how we like to do it. Send them home so they can go to sleep, and parents are happy too, right? That's good. It's a good evening. I'm covering a little bit of Mr. Cabral's here. He is already up at regional basketball, so I'm going to say great job to the high school play. I was able to go, and Clue Painter there. It was fun. If anyone was able to go out, thank you to the community for supporting that. Ms. Fry, of course, just organizing a great show, and just a huge senior cast. Sorry to see so many of those great thespians on their way, but we've really enjoyed them, and the dinner theater was fun. When the kids all came around to our table, I had some really witty things to say, and I enjoyed that. I had a good time. So thanks. Thanks lots of people for making that a hit. That was fun. Middle school volleyball has started, which is exciting. Coach Cabral there. I see Coach Sirks out there. Coach Coral. He's got some of the high school young ladies helping out. That is fun. Got a bunch of boys involved. If you haven't, it started. He's had 42 middle school kids, if you haven't heard that yet. Whatever it is, it's 40, yeah, close to half the middle school is out playing volleyball. So that's exciting. And, of course, a great coach, a lot of great coaches there. So they're having a good experience. So that's fun, getting kids involved. Awesome. Track and baseball have begun. They started yesterday in the high school. So high school track, Coach Thompson was here. And so wishing him the best of luck on a great season for track. Coach Engel on baseball, so go Vikings. That is a good time. Again, a lot of good senior athletes in both those groups, too. So it'll be fun to watch them this year. Our middle school track starting pretty soon after a few weeks here, and Ms. Cumps will be doing that. So lots going on, activities, of course. And as you know, we are at regionals. It's a fun time. It's an exciting thing that happens in Southeast. And so the boys and girls left yesterday for basketball. The boys and girls basketball team left yesterday with some coaches and got up there and got started. Ms. Cabral's kind of helping as our Region 5 lead and running that big show. So that's an exciting time. The pep band leaves tomorrow. I'm able to go up tomorrow as well, and so I'm going to watch for a little bit, and then I'm going to go out. My daughter's performing on Saturday in the American Choir Directors Northwest Regional Performance, so that'll be fun. We got an email yesterday, just like, we're watching, we're talking about coronavirus, and then at 5:30 last night, they said, okay, it's on, so we're going to stay safe, and she's going to sing with another, about 100, I think there's about 110 girls in her choir, and then there's a kind of a bass, a lower choir as well. So it's a great experience, and so I'm thankful to be able to get away and do that too, but, and I should be able to catch all the regional games too, so some flights worked out. I get out of Juneau pretty late on Friday and still do that, so busy weekend for that, so that's exciting. Fun thing too, you'll see around here, it's exciting. I just love our teachers trying to make the most of these opportunities. Obviously, we lose a lot of kids during regional, 60-something, I believe, this year. So that's close to half the high school, a little bit less. And so some of the teachers are getting together, you know, so we've got some smaller groups and kids are, you know, doing some catch-up work or doing some projects, and it's a little more independent-based stuff. And so they're kind of combining some works and doing some professional development, which is cool. They're, you know, doing some learning videos. They're having some kids involved in some stuff. So appreciate them. Just, you'll see some flexing up in the high school as teachers are getting together and doing some professional development with our lower numbers. So that's pretty cool. Appreciate them getting together and doing that. Wishing everyone, of course, a great and very safe spring break. And then an interesting thing we do, and it sounds like Heather says, we really know how to have fun. We talk about testing and we're getting into peaks. But the Tuesday we get back is the day when all juniors take the ACT. And I really am thankful our district supports that, and that Ms. Turner works really hard to get that stuff going, because it's a great thing for all kids to have a chance to take a college readiness exam like the ACT. Not all school districts do that, and it's really neat because we have some really bright kids, and I think some bright kids who don't realize how powerful they are, and to take that kind of exam and have the success a lot of kids do, I think is really neat. Just take that and say, like, hey, my score wasn't bad, I could go here, I could do this, and I feel like it opens doors. I know it's a cost of the district, but I think it's powerful. You know, it's a cool thing we do. It's not just another, well, they're taking another test, we don't have to do this, and it's cool that we do. So thank you for get for supporting that. It's neat stuff. Questions for me? Okay, thank you.
Okay, thank you. Okay, moving on. And I guess I kind of heard some of the activity report where Mr. Cabral is, that it's a busy week. So we'll move on to our committee reports. Crisis, Cheryl. Has had one, right?
Not yet.
Not yet. Oh, I guess I was thinking of curriculum.
There was a meeting coming up, but now I don't remember what day it was.
Do you have a curriculum steering committee meeting?
The 23rd.
There we go.
That day.
Thank you.
It's in my calendar.
It's coming up.
It's in my
30th.
I did write it down. It's not with me right now.
Facilities, Jay?
Nothing right now.
Okay. Who wants to be the legislative liaison?
Nobody.
Mara may have to be an ad hoc.
Well, that's what they, yeah. He's a community member
she
now.
She loves that. I know, she's so Mara. Good at it.
She can still send us texts.
She still sends me texts. She sent me about 3 today.
Hear that, Mara? If you're listening.
You're listening, Mara.
So nobody's beating down the door to be that. So we don't have any negotiations this year. Policy committee, we probably should meet again soon. Mm-hmm. We'll figure that out. Technology?
Nothing right now.
Nothing. Mm-hmm. And wellness.
There is a meeting, no offense to the curriculum, but I know the date for this one. March 26th, they're having a meeting. It's a Thursday.
You're right.
Okay. Sorry to the curriculum meeting for not remembering their day.
Next, we just would like to take a chance to special recognition. The superintendent, as well as the school board, would like to recognize Mara Latonsky for her years of service to the Petersburg School District. And we appreciate all the effort and time she put into it. And we'll certainly miss her, but wish her the best in whatever future plans she has.
Absolutely.
So, moving on to old business, we have Board Policy 6114.4, which is the pandemic epidemic emergency. Board Policy 6114.4, Pandemic Epidemic Emergencies, is an optional policy that it has been recommended to us by the Association of Alaska School Boards. The Board Policy Committee had reviewed it and made some recommendations on adopting this policy, and we did approve it in its first reading on February 11, 2020 at our regular board meeting. Do we need to do the public hearing?
Recess to a public hearing?
Well, I'm confused then. Following a public hearing, okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, yeah, we have to recess to a public hearing on it before we can approve it in second reading if it's approved. So I will go ahead and open up for public hearing on Board Policy 6114.4. Anybody from the public would like to make any comments or changes? And I don't know if this is where we kind of discuss it or we discuss it.
We can discuss it after.
I think this is more for the public to be able to make any comments that they would like to see.
They're knocking down the
considering nobody's here, I'm going to go ahead and close the public meeting, or public comment period, and I will make a motion to approve Board Policy 6114.2 at the second and final reading. Second?
I'll second.
Okay, motion's been made and seconded, and now we can discuss it. So if you look at the draft, was what we had done in our initial first reading, and then so we did get some feedback from the public concerned over how we would deal with kids that have to be quarantined, and they just wanted clarity that we would our ability to quarantine would not go further than the district property, which I think is the intent of the policy, or at least that was what my thoughts were, is the intent of our policy. We wouldn't have any authority beyond our walls, but I think it was to make it clear. So we had thought about changing some of the language, as you can see, like the red, striking that and putting in local and state officials will determine whether further medical examination is necessary. Basically, putting the burden on the medical personnel instead of ourselves to determine that, since really we're not in the business of doing that. I presume, at least from my point of view for this policy, is that it's a temporary quarantine until the parent or guardian can come mm-hmm. and take the child to an appropriate medical or home or whatever, but that it's only a temporary situation until they arrive. At least that's what I'd like to.
Mm-hmm. I think so, and I think just, and the intent being that if there were, like, you know, yeah. currently what we're kind of dealing with, if there was a concern about mm-hmm. something like that, you would let, you know, public health, you would let the parents, you would go take it to the right places, mm-hmm. you know, and they would make a determination about what mm-hmm. next steps would be as far as a quarantine or what, or whatever next steps would be. Yeah.
So I don't know if any of you had a chance to review it, or if you, what your thoughts are on the changes or even additional changes. Since we are in our second reading, this would be the time to amend it, if so.
Just so I understand, can I?
Oh,
really,
no, this
really
is
fast?
Good. Yes, tell us.
So, basically, if someone with the virus is, like, they have the virus, they are no longer allowed to come to school, right? Is that what this is saying? They're quarantined?
Depending on what the medical examination, you know, we would be seeking guidance from medical yes. professionals saying, you know, this, mm-hmm. yeah, we would recommend a 24-hour, 48-hour, 2-week, you know, whatever the next steps are, like just even thinking about what's happening, like with the coronavirus, for example.
And then they would give us this specific virus, the COVID-19, isn't it transferable before the symptoms are shown? Mm-hmm. So is that a concern for the school?
Oh. I think this policy, we're writing it, or we're adopting it more as a general one, whether it's this mm-hmm. virus or one that shows up 10 years from now, yeah. or mm-hmm. you know, a year from now, or whatever. It's more of a general one, because you could have something that is contagious, you know, like it's an immediate.
Yeah.
This one's hard because, yeah, we could, I mean, just like anything, cold or flu, we're walking around Petri dish sharing it before we know we're sick, actually yeah. sick. So I think in this case, it's one of anticipating probably something that is moves quickly and is pretty apparent right away that someone is very ill. And that giving us the ability to quarantine them before they're handed off to their parents or guardians.
That makes sense. Yeah.
But no, good question.
That's a good question.
And we didn't have one. So, you know, how do you deal with something like this?
Where would our quarantine space be? That's like a huge what if, but.
Well, we have nurse office space in all of the offices now. We didn't used to in the middle school, but there is a nurse office space near both of the offices. And then you have to go through probably some sort of cleaning regimen, whatever, again, that medical professionals would be giving us in that perspective.
And maybe this policy is also dreaming up, I hate to even use the word, dreaming up of conditions that we can't even think of right now, you know, that don't exist in our mind frame right mm-hmm. now, because it's like colds and flu that we're familiar with, but it could mm-hmm. be something quite serious, even more serious or whatever, that's mm-hmm. Hollywood conditions.
Yeah. And the part with the continuous education, I know a couple times it's the very bottom, mm-hmm. we've talked before about somehow getting most of the classes to where they can be broadcast mm-hmm. for people to get online to have a class. Do you know where we're at as far as that? ability goes?
I get to talk to you about that.
Oh, you're talking about that? Okay, okay. I'll wait.
It's coronavirus
Thank
fun.
You.
Yeah.
I'm going to start a new class for that. Stop touching my face.
I keep touching my face.
90 times a day. That's what they say. That's me.
So I would like to make those changes if people are comfortable with those changes that we just proposed, because I think it kind of clarifies what the intent was, and I hopefully makes anyone concerned about what our quarantining responsibilities or quarantining level.
This does not mean we can quarantine kids and just like keep them. We will still
right. We want them to
go
their parents' garden. We don't want to hold on to them. No, and I think that was a concern for someone, is how long would we keep them? Would we hold on to them? And it's like no. That is not the goal at all.
The medical professionals,
right?
So,
okay. If I'll call for the vote then. I think I can do that. Mm-hmm. Motion's been made and seconded as edited for Board Policy 6114.4 at its second and final reading. Irene, can you call the roll?
Sure. Katie Nolan.
Yes.
Sarah Holmgren.
Yes.
Cheryl Pyle.
Yes.
Jay Lister.
Yes.
Maria Fun.
Yes.
Motion passes. I wasn't sure if we had to have a voice vote, but I figure it's a new policy.
Okay.
It's always a good idea.
When in doubt, roll call.
Make
okay.
A t-shirt.
Yeah, that's true.
That is a good one.
I like that.
When in doubt,
roll call.
New business. We're going to request for our people transportation proposal. Superintendent Clint Painter and Finance Director Kara Morrison will provide a financial overview of our previous transportation contract and discuss the RFP for people transportation. As per the Alaska Department of Education guidelines, the five-year contract is ending on June 30th of this year and is required to be put out for a bid. And I would like to just, maybe you guys will talk a little bit about it, but Erica did address it on the air today when we were at Campus Connections, is that we're not required by law to provide transportation, but it sure has been nice to be able to afford to do it for this long, since the state only does not fully reimburse us for the cost. Take it away.
Yep. So we did want to provide an overview of our school bus transportation program, because we actually go out to RFP only every 5 years, and we are coming up on that cycle. So we thought we'd provide not just financial information, but just more information about the program in general.
There's the amazing hoopy.
And there's the street
the pictures
on
that
the
we got permission to post.
Yeah.
It's dark. This is it.
Our friend.
Yep. So as Sarah did say, Alaska is one of the few states that does not mandate that school districts provide transportation. It's a courtesy service, and safety is our number one priority. We regular routes are defined actually by Alaska statute, and that is when you have eight or more pupils that reside outside of 1.5 miles from the school district. Those routes are really based on student needs and safety, so we do actually have routes that are within that 1.5 miles from the school district. They're developed to be cost-effective. We do receive funding from the state of Alaska, but not enough to cover the entire cost of our contract. And related services for students with IEPs, they are served regardless of the distance from the school.
Can you remind people what IEPs are, please?
Yeah, Individual Education Plan.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Yes.
For students who might have special needs.
Right.
Yep.
Is that mandated for the students, or is that?
Yes, it is.
It's mandated. We provide travel.
Yep.
And specifically for students who have intensive needs, and so sometimes that can have an impact on, like, the bus company purchased a new bus a couple years ago that has capability for a lift. For students that might be in a wheelchair. And we do have a service student who rides the bus.
So we wanted to talk a little bit about hazardous routes as well, and they are also, the guidelines are established per Alaska statute, but we also have Board Policy 3541. Hazardous routes are routes that are within the 1.5 miles from the school district that cannot be safely traveled by children because of either traffic, weather, or other hazards. Other hazards might be a tree down or a landslide. We also can include routes that are within the minimum walking distance when routes are unsafe. That might be sidewalks that are not able to be cleared because of the amount of snow.
Or no sidewalks.
No sidewalks, yeah, or no sidewalks. Routes are reviewed, both regular and what would be considered hazardous routes are reviewed by the district administration and the bus contractor each year.
Do you have a question, Kate?
No. Okay. So funding overview. Currently, we contract our services with Stick King Services. They're on a five-year contract. It started in 2015, and it will end June of 2020. They currently run two buses with two round-trip routes, and then there's an additional kindergarten run that's done Monday through Thursdays, and this is to and from school. It's approximately 172 days that we transport students, and the current cost of the contract is $195,736. The amount of funds that we receive from the state of Alaska is $193,566. The difference that we receive from the state of Alaska and the cost of the contract is absorbed by the school district. We also do provide other additional transportation services. We use Stickeen services for our classroom field trips, to transport our teams for activities, and we also use additional funds for special education transportation services. Last year, these additional transportation services cost the district $14,422. And again, that's not covered by the state of Alaska. We're using our own funds for that. And several years ago, we did plan for this knowing that the state was not covering the full cost of transportation services. And so we, over the last few years, had transferred funds from the general fund into the transportation fund. And so as of June 30th, 2019, our fund balance in that transportation fund is $61,456, which is how we afford the additional costs of these transportation services, as well as the additional overage for the contract cost. Like I said, we're going out for requests for proposals for services. That contract will be from July 1st, 2020 through June 30th, 2025. This aligns with the state of Alaska's requirements that bus transportation services are a five-year contract. And hopefully this RFP will be out in the next week or two if the board so.
I know with the talk about the new, or having preschools into our schools, mm-hmm. How's that gonna affect the busing?
That's another one of the questions that's on the list. It would depend on time. So if, for example, it were offered, depending on how it all ends up shaking out, if there was a program offered like earlier in the morning that might align with the beginning of school, our regular school, I think we could probably coordinate something there. We'd have to work it out, with the bus contractor as far as how that might look for really young kids. Even younger than kindergarten, what that meant. But our kindergartners ride the bus in the morning currently with the big kids and get here. So there would
be 3 and 4 year olds?
It's 4 year olds. Oh, 4.
Mm-hmm. It's pretty young.
It's young. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we would definitely want to have a good plan
okay.
for what that would look like.
But again, that wouldn't be necessarily required.
It's not required.
Would it be, would the preschool be required if they have an IEP?
The transportation?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yes.
And that's something that we do currently with students who are on IEPs that are identified prior to. We are a part of that conversation depending on what their needs are. A lot of times families do their own
transportation.
Yeah, because they are so young.
Yeah.
Do we have a lot of kindergartners riding the bus?
It depends. We've had more this year, I think. What were those numbers? I feel like it's between 6 and 8, 7 and 8, 8.
Let's see here. I happen to grab the February report here. This is hard to read. Sorry. It's about 32 kindergarten, between 25 and 32 kindergartners per week that are riding the bus.
Is that just in the morning, or is that in the afternoon also?
That's their bus.
That's
the afternoon bus run, mm-hmm. the Monday through Thursday, that's just for them.
So there are still kindergartners riding in the afternoon bus?
Just by themselves.
On their own bus. Yeah. Right, on their mm-hmm. own bus, because they yeah. get out.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And then they ride on Friday with the rest of the kids. And it looks like there's about five kids that ride mm-hmm. per week on Friday.
Is it worth it in the morning more or in the afternoon? Mm-hmm. And just, I'm just thinking, because I know that when we did this contract 5 years ago, and it doesn't seem like it was 5 years ago, they asked it to be upped because they bought a new bus.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm hoping that maybe it go back down because hopefully the bus is paid for. Maybe.
I guess we'll find out.
We'll find out.
And the bus required that special lift.
Right.
That was the change in that contract. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
To be ADA.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Those are good questions.
Gas prices are good. Anyway, going up.
Yeah.
Okay. I just wondering.
Is there any more questions or comments?
When you say the kindergartners take their own bus, you're talking the big bus for mm-hmm. 5 to 8 kids?
Mm-hmm. No, not on those days. Those are Fridays when there's only a small number of students mm-hmm. riding.
Monday through Thursday is its own bus.
Right, but those numbers are higher, I guess. Is
so
like 32 for the week?
For the week, yes, you're right. So it's in between 3 and 8.
3 to 8 kids. Yep.
It's a big bus for 3 to 8 kids.
But mm-hmm. that's the bus. Yeah. That's the service.
That started when my kids were in kindergarten.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought it was wonderful.
Yeah, it's so wonderful.
Especially in the afternoon.
For people in the community. Yep.
And I think that question has come up more than once, is that our smaller bus that we have, the Viking one, is not, you cannot use it for bus service.
No.
Just so we're, people that are listening, if they're wondering, oh, you know, 4 kids, mm-hmm. can't we use the smaller bus, use less gas? And not permitted.
That's an activity bus. It cannot be used for school bus transportation.
Rules. Not that we like them, but
well, there is so many federal, state
it's a
guidelines.
I mean,
it's a much.
I don't want people to think that we're not using it because we don't want to.
Because that one has a lift.
It's we're bound by those rules.
Would be nice.
Okay. So I don't think you need anything from us, right?
This was for information for you.
Thank you, Karen.
Thank you.
Thanks. Thank you. Moving on to teacher contracts.
Mm-hmm.
I'll make a motion to approve the fiscal year 2021 tenure teacher contracts as listed. We got an attachment that showed quite a
mm-hmm.
I don't know if I didn't count how many,
it's
but
right
we got
there.
Our existing teachers with a few additions because they've met the requirements.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Can I have a second?
A second.
Motion's been made and seconded. Do we have any questions or comments? Any discussion? No? Okay. Irene, can you call the roll?
Sure. Sarah Holmgren.
Yes.
Jay Lister.
Yes.
Cheryl File.
Yes.
Katie Holman.
Yes.
Olivia.
Yes.
Okay, motion passes 4-0. Next, we move on to 2021 administrator contracts. I'll make a motion to approve the 2021 administrative contracts for elementary school principal Heather Cotton. Is that a second?
Seconded.
Motion's been made and seconded. Any comments? Glad to have you.
Fabulous first year.
Okay, motion's been made and seconded. Irene, can you call the roll?
Cheryl Pyle?
Yes.
Jay Lister?
Yes.
Sarah Holmgren?
Yes.
Katie Holman?
Yes.
Maria Funk?
Yes. Motion passes. I'll make a motion to approve the 2021 administrative contract for middle school and high school principal Richard Dharma. Got a second?
A second.
Motion's been made and seconded. Any discussion or comments? How many years is it, Mr. Dharma?
Mm-hmm. This is the end of 11, so this will be my 12th year here.
Wow.
Going into the awesome. Yeah.
Oh,
second grade.
Yeah.
Do I get a pin?
Yeah.
They gave me a watch. Did you get a watch?
Yeah.
A first year watch?
Yeah, right.
A 12th year watch. It's the same watch.
You should get a first year.
So, in essence, you started as a kindergartner and now you're senior.
Yeah, right.
Oh, or no, 11th grader, excuse me. I gotta do my math.
That's true.
Okay. Motion's been made and seconded. Mm-hmm. Irene, can you please call the roll?
Cheryl Pyle?
Yes.
Jay Lister?
Yes.
Sarah Holmgren?
Yes.
Katie Holmland?
Yes.
Okay, fun.
Yes. Okay. Motion passes.
Great. Thank you for your support.
Moving on to the exciting world, as if we haven't heard enough about it.